Welcome to the Archimedes Ledger podcast. If you are a small business owner, an entrepreneur, or a nonprofit leader, you probably know the feeling of tax season looming on the horizon. For many, it is a time of high stress, late nights, and a frantic search for missing invoices, receipts, and bank statements. Today, we are going to look at why that yearly scramble happens and how shifting your perspective to a simple, consistent year-round routine can completely change the way you run your organization. Bookkeeping does not have to be scary or overwhelming. When done step by step throughout the year, it becomes a predictable monthly rhythm that gives you total control over your business. Let us start by looking at the mental shift from a sprint to a marathon. Many business owners treat tax preparation as a once-a-year event. When March or April approaches, they stop running their business to focus entirely on gathering financial data. This is what we call the sprint, and it is incredibly stressful. By contrast, a marathon approach means doing a little bit of work every week and every month. Instead of spending 40 hours in a panic trying to reconstruct a whole year of transactions, you spend an hour or two every month keeping things clean. By the time the year ends, your books are already done. You do not have to scramble because there's nothing to catch up on. Another major reason to avoid the tax season sprint is what we call the CP. If you hand over a shoebox of paper receipts or an unreconciled accounting ledger to your certified public accountant in February or March, they will charge you their full professional rates to clean it up. We are talking about $150 to over $300 an hour. That is a massive premium to pay for basic administrative work. When you present clean, reconciled, and organized books to your tax preparer, they can get straight to filing your taxes. This means lower professional fees, faster turnaround times, and less stress for everyone involved. Proactive bookkeeping also gives you the financial visibility you need to make smart, real-time strategic decisions. If you only look at your books once a year, you're operating your business completely blind. You cannot make strategic decisions in October if you do not know your margins or cash flow until the following spring. For example, if you know your exact financial position before the end of the year, you can work with your CPA to choose to buy business equipment before December 31st. This allows you to take advantage of Section 179 depreciation to lower your taxable income. If you wait until January to look at your numbers, that opportunity is completely gone. Continuous bookkeeping is also your best line of defense against an audit. The Internal Revenue Service does not choose businesses for audits entirely at random. They look for anomalies, mismatched numbers, and a general lack of documentation. By maintaining your books throughout the year, you build a clear, chronological audit trail. Every single transaction is linked directly to its source document, whether that is a receipt, a bill, a vendor contract, or a bank statement. If the tax authorities ever have a question about a deduction, you do not have to worry because the proof is already attached to the transaction in your software. Let us talk about the specific daily, weekly, and monthly habits that keep your books in perfect shape. Your daily and weekly routine should focus on receipt capture. Gone are the days of keeping physical paper receipts in folders or glove compartments. In fact, keeping paper is a liability because receipt paper fades quickly over time. The best practice is to take a photo of your receipt immediately using an accounting app integration. Tools like QuickBooks Online, HubDoc or Wave make this incredibly easy. The Internal Revenue Service explicitly accepts digital images of receipts as long as they are completely legible and clearly show the vendor name, the date of the transaction, the total amount paid, and the specific items purchased. Once you snap that photo and upload it, you can shred the paper receipt and move on with your day. Another essential rule for daily operations is the complete separation of personal and business funds. For sole proprietors, single member, LLCs, and early stage entrepreneurs, it is tempting to use one bank account for everything. This is a massive mistake. Commingling funds can lead to a legal situation known as piercing the corporate veil. If you combine your personal and business money, a court can rule that your business is not a separate legal entity. This destroys the personal liability protection that an LLC or a corporation is supposed to provide, putting your personal assets like your home or personal savings at risk. You must maintain a dedicated business checking account and a business credit card, and you must never use them for personal purchases or vice versa. When we move to monthly habits, the single most important task is bank reconciliation. Reconciling your accounts means matching your bank and credit card statements line by line with your transaction ledger in your accounting software. This process ensures that every single dollar is accounted for. It prevents you from double counting expenses, helps you catch missed bank fees, and allows you to spot fraudulent charges before it is too late. If you reconcile your accounts every single month, closing your books at the end of the year takes only a few hours instead of weeks. Another strict monthly requirement is keeping an accurate mileage log. If you use a personal vehicle for business purposes, you're entitled to a valuable tax deduction. However, the Internal Revenue Service has strict rules about how you document this. You cannot simply estimate your mileage at the end of the year. You must keep a contemporaneous log, which means you document each trip at or near the time it happens. Your log must record the date of the trip, the business purpose, the starting location, the destination, and the exact odometer readings, or total miles driven. For the tax year 26, the standard business mileage rate is 72.5 cents per mile. This is an increase of 2.5 cents from the 25 rate, making it an even more valuable deduction to track accurately. On a quarterly basis, your main focus should be estimated tax payments. If you're a freelancer, a sole proprietor, or an S corporation shareholder, you generally must pay estimated taxes throughout the year using Form 1040-S. This prevents you from facing underpayment penalties when you file your annual return. The quarterly due dates are always April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and January 15th of the following year. Having accurate up-to-date monthly books means you know exactly how much profit your business has generated each quarter. This allows you to calculate your payments accurately, rather than making a wild guess that could leave you with a massive unexpected tax bill at the end of the year. This brings us to some very important regulatory updates that are taking effect for the tax years 26 and 27. These are changes that every business owner needs to understand now, so you can adjust your tracking systems accordingly. The first major update comes from the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which introduces a major reform to Form 1099 reporting. Historically, if you paid an independent contractor or freelancer $600 or more in a calendar year, you had to issue them a Form 1099-NEC. Beginning in the tax year 26, for the forms you file in early 27, this reporting threshold is increasing from $600 to $2,000. Starting in 27, this $2,000 threshold will also be indexed annually for inflation. Even with this higher threshold, you must continue to collect Form W-9 from every single contractor before you make your very first payment to them. You should never wait until December to ask for a W-9. If a contractor ends up crossing that $2,000 threshold by the end of the year and you do not have their tax information, you will be in a very difficult position. Collecting the W-9 early also allows you to verify their tax entity type. This is important because while corporations generally do not require a 1099, LLCs and sole proprietors do, and the W-9 is how you verify that status. There's also a permanent change regarding Form 1099-K. For years, there were proposals to lower the reporting threshold for third-party payment processors like PayPal, Stripe, and Venmo down to $600. This caused a great deal of confusion for small businesses. The new legislation permanently reverses those proposed changes, restoring the 1099-K threshold to $20,000 and 200 transactions. Both of these conditions must be met before a payment processor is required to issue you a Form 1099-K. Furthermore, the system we use to file these informational returns is changing. The legacy system, known as Filing Information Returns Electronically, or FIRE, is officially being retired by the Internal Revenue Service starting in tax year 26. In its place, the Information Returns Intake System, known as IRIS, will be the sole portal for e-filing information returns like 1099s. If you handle your own filings, you must transition your processes to the new portal. We also have a significant change to how meals and entertainment are deducted, starting in 26. This is a major update that will catch many business owners off guard if their books are not set up correctly. Let us break down the three categories of meal deductions. First, standard business meals with clients, prospects, or consultants remain 50% deductible. This applies as long as an owner or employee is present and the meal is not lavish or extravagant. Travel meals for business trips also remain 50% deductible. The second category is where the big change lies. On-site meals provided for the convenience of the employer, such as late-night office food deliveries, overtime meals, or keeping the office break room stocked with coffee, tea, sodas, and snacks, are now 0% deductible. Previously, these convenience meals and office snacks were partially deductible, but starting in 2026, they are completely non-deductible. To handle this change, your bookkeeper must set up separate ledger accounts. You cannot simply group all food under meals anymore. You need one account for deductible business meals at 50% and a separate account for non-deductible office, snacks, and convenience meals at 0%. If you mix these together, your tax preparer will have a massive cleanup project at the end of the year. The third category is company-wide social events. Large-scale events that are open to all of your employees, such as an annual holiday party or a summer picnic, remain 100% deductible. Keeping these three types of food expenses separate in your day-to-day bookkeeping is essential for an accurate tax return. If you're running a nonprofit organization, your bookkeeping requirements are quite different and the stakes are incredibly high. Nonprofits do not pay income tax, but they must file an annual informational return to maintain their tax-exempt 51c3 status. This is done using the Form 990 series. Which specific form you need to file depends entirely on your gross receipts and your total assets. If your nonprofit normally receives under $50,000 in gross receipts, you can file Form 990N, which is often called the e-postcard. This is a very simple online form that takes only a few minutes to file and does not require complex financial reports. If your gross receipts are between $50,000 and $200,000 and your total assets are under $500,000, you must file Form 990EZ. If your gross receipts exceed $20,000 or your total assets are over $500,000, you must file the full, comprehensive Form 990. Filing this return is not optional, and the penalties for neglecting it are severe. Under the 3-year strike rule, if a nonprofit fails to file its required Form 990 return for 3 consecutive years, the Internal Revenue Service will automatically revoke its tax-exempt status. If this happens, your organization will immediately lose the ability to receive tax-deductible donations. Reinstating your status is highly bureaucratic, extremely expensive, and can take months, during which time your fundraising will likely grind to a halt. You must also be very careful with the due date. Form 990 is due on the 15th day of the 5th month after the close of your organization's fiscal year. If your fiscal year aligns with the calendar year and ends on December 31st, your filing deadline is May 15th. If your fiscal year ends on June 30th, your deadline is November 15th. Nonprofits must also use a specialized method of accounting called fund accounting. This involves tracking restricted funds separately from unrestricted funds. If a donor gives you a donation specifically to buy supplies for a youth program, those funds are restricted. You cannot mix them with your general operating cash, and you must be able to prove exactly how and when those specific dollars were spent. Additionally, nonprofits must track functional expenses. This means categorizing every single expense into one of three distinct buckets. The first bucket is program services, which represents money spent directly on carrying out your mission. The second is management in general, also known as administrative expenses, which includes things like board meetings, administrative bookkeeping, and office rent. The third bucket is fundraising, which covers the costs of donor databases, fundraising events, and marketing campaigns. Donors, grantors, and charity watchdogs look closely at your program expense ratio, which is the percentage of your total expenses spent directly on programs. A healthy ratio is typically 75% or higher, and your bookkeeping must be precise enough to report this ratio accurately at any given moment. Let us walk through a step-by-step year-end bookkeeping checklist to ensure you're fully prepared when December 31st arrives. First, you must reconcile all of your balance sheet accounts. This means verifying that the cash balance shown on your balance sheet matches your December bank statements exactly. You must perform the same matching process for all credit card liabilities and any outstanding business loans. Next, you need to clean up your accounts receivable and accounts payable. Review your outstanding client invoices. If you have invoices that are completely uncollectible, you should write them off as bad debt. This lowers your recorded income and reduces your tax liability. On the accounts payable side, make sure that any vendor bills you received before December 31st are recorded in your ledger, even if you will not pay them until January. This is especially important for accrual basis taxpayers who want to claim the expense in the current tax year. You also need to verify your fixed assets and depreciation. If your business purchased equipment, machinery, computers, office furniture, or vehicles during the year that cost more than $2,500, you must keep the detailed purchase invoices organized and handy. Your tax preparer will need these documents to calculate your depreciation or to take an immediate write-off under Section 179. Finally, if your business operates as an S corporation, you have a specific requirement for shareholder health insurance. The S corporation must report any accident and health insurance premiums paid on behalf of shareholders who own more than 2% of the company. These premiums must be reported on the shareholder's form W-2 in box 14 for the business to claim the deduction. This requires close communication between your bookkeeper and your payroll processor before the end of the calendar year. This is exactly where Archimedes Ledger can help you. At Archimedes Ledger, our mission is to make the bookkeeping process completely automatic and non-scary for small businesses, entrepreneurs, and nonprofits. You can learn more about how we work by visiting our website at archimedesledger.com. Instead of waiting until the end of the year to untangle 12 months of complicated financial transactions, our team manages your books on a continuous monthly basis. We handle all of your monthly reconciliations, ensuring your accounts are always balanced and completely audit ready. We stay on top of the latest tax rules, so we will make sure your deductible business meals are correctly separated from the newly non-deductible office snacks and convenience meals. If you run a nonprofit, we will manage your fund accounting, track restricted donations, and generate professional, board-ready functional expense reports that show your program ratios clearly. We also collect W-9 forms and manage the entire Form 1099-N EC filing process, ensuring everything is submitted correctly through the new IRIS portal well before the deadlines. By the time tax season arrives, we deliver a pristine, professional, CPA-ready financial package directly to your tax preparer. Tax season becomes just another normal, quiet month for your business, rather than a frantic scramble. To help you plan your calendar, let us review the key tax return types and deadlines for calendar year entities. For partnerships filing Form 1065 and S corporations filing Form 1120s, your tax returns are due on March 15th. These are pass-through entities, meaning they issue Schedule K-1s to the owners. The owners then need those K-1s to complete their own personal tax returns, which is why these corporate returns are due a month earlier. For sole proprietorships filing, Schedule C on Form 1040 and C corporations filing Form 1120, your tax returns are due on April 15th. Finally, keep in mind the crucial payroll and contractor deadlines at the start of the year. Employers must distribute Form W-2s to their employees and file them with the Social Security Administration by January 31st. Similarly, you must furnish Form 1099-NEC to your independent contractors and file them with the Internal Revenue Service by January 31st. By implementing these simple, consistent, daily, weekly, and monthly bookkeeping workflows, you can build an organized financial foundation for your business. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Archimedes Ledger podcast. Remember to visit archimedesledger.com to find out how we can help you keep your books balanced all year round.